Blog Talk Radio.
Time it is, so honey, grab all of your crumpets because it's time to dish tea, and you're dishing tea, darlings, with Big Meats. Hey, tea sippers, what's going on, babies? What is going on? What's going on? What is going on? I wanted to say thank you for all of your love and your support. Thank you for listening and coming on in. Oh, if you are online right now listening to the sound of my voice, and at some point in time in the conversation want to chime in, please do so by calling 347-205-9183. Again, that's 347-205-9183. Once you do that and you want to talk, press the number 1. Your hand will go up on my switchboard and it lets me know you want to talk. And then when time is allotted for that, I will bring you on in as I need be. And we'll get things rolling right along. And you can have your voice as well, okay? I'm very excited. Now, let me say this disclaimer right here just for half a second about me. If I'm sounding a little that way, child, y'all know I got the donut factory job, right? We got to go make the donuts. And I'm, you know, I'm a little bit on fumes because I'm just coming in from making the donuts. Well, damn it, did not one of the damn managers of the rest of the hotel that I work for come up in here a few days ago with his damn cooties coughing. Now it's about to start a chain reaction, and I'm starting to get that little tickle in the back of your throat, and I'm starting to notice that I'm sounding a little bit that way, like minor congestion. And yeah, so I've got to go dope myself up. So anybody know me, how do y'all know I'm going to go get everything on the market, take it all at the same time according to its dosages, put some heat on and sweat it out because I can't afford it. So therefore, if it sounds like I'm a little congested, that's why. Cooties. Ugh. Anywho, we're going to keep things moving along. I'm very excited about today's show, honey. I've titled today's show, dear, This is the Life Atlanta Style. Now, just to give you a little update or a little synopsis of what we're going to get into with this particular episode, if you guys have not already heard, there has been talk and more talk and everything about a new reality television series that's supposed to be coming on, and it became an internet sensation off of a 5-minute piece of footage. And what has happened, it has been so-called deemed the gay version of The Housewives of Atlanta and this, that, and the third. Well, darling, today we're going to get all off into that. We're going to explore. We're going to break it down. We're going to talk turkey. And we're going to really, really, really understand this particular genre of reality TV from our perspective, being LGBT-centered, okay? But before I get into all of that, let me take this time to say, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, show ideas, Dear Meats letters, we had a few of those last week if you're listening, please take this time, send all of that over to me. You can either email me at bigmeach@dishingtea.com. That's bigmeach, B-I-G-M-E-A-C-H, @dishingtea.com. Or you can go to the fabulous website. Go to www.dishingtea.com. Yes, finally, honey, the .com is up and running. So you can go there, check it out. Everything that you need to know about Dishing Tea, how to link over to the Facebook pages, how to get your copy of my new book, Awakenings, Epiphanies Along a Spiritual Journey. You can find out all of that information right there at the website at www.dishingtea.com. That's too cute. But anywho, I welcome you to go there. Like I said, I'm looking forward to do a lot of the Dear Meats letters and carrying on. You know, I get on the soapbox here and there. So if you guys want some sound, reasonable advice, I'm not going to sugarcoat shit. And I would let you have it tastefully, okay? And really get down into some things. You know, if it's heart wrenching, if you're just joshing with me, if you done made up a story, I'm, you know, this, that, and the third, send it on over to bigmeach@dishingtea.com, okay? So now, today's show, like I said, is going to be one of those hoopings. Y'all see, I'm a little that way about it. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm starting to feel a little giddy. But because of that, let me say this, and this is the disclaimer for the show. This show is for mature audiences, and the subject matters and or language are not appropriate for children or anyone who is not mature enough to handle the subject matters. So your listening discretion is advised. Again, your listening discretion is advised. Now, for those of you who know me, y'all know I have a potty mouth. I do. And I make no excuses for it. And I don't know what bag I'm coming out of. Just know that I'm coming out of one, okay? And so with that in mind, darlings, If y'all at work, if you're somewhere around where there's children or whatever, I need for you to govern yourself accordingly, because you bitches are not going to be calling me, typing me, sending me dear meets letters about you got demerits, you know, got talked about on your job, whatever the case may be, because you didn't rule yourself. So govern yourselves accordingly. Capiche? Capiche. Comprende. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Over there, the tea room is also open, or the chat room, if you will. If you want to go over here, please, I encourage you to place questions, comments, or concerns or follow the show there in the tea room. I just ask that you dish your tea over there responsibly, please. Now, you know, this is the written word, and a lot of times as we read it, we put our own experiences and our own inferences onto the way we think the person is saying the words. So don't go coming out of a bag and throwing your computers at walls and this, that, and the third. Just take your time, breathe, and dish your tea responsibly. It's okay to disagree. Let's not be disagreeable, because if I see that you are, I will chop you, and you will not be in the tea room anymore. Capiche? Capiche? Comprende? Okay. Now, having said all that, let's get down into the meat of this. Now, like I said, today's show, we're going to go into a venture that I am looking at as a success. Now, we've had, you know, my guests have had some good and some bad feedback about it. We'll get into that a little later. But I'm looking at this as a complete success because we're looking at the entrepreneurial spirit. This young man has gone through his reins, and because he saw that this was a need, he had decided to go into his own pocket and create a television program that is going to be reflective of a section of our community that has no voice, or at least doesn't get seen in the way that we would like for it to be seen. My guest today, he has two titles, honey. He's a doctor and a lawyer. How about that? Dr. George Smith. He's a native Houstonian and a graduate of Prairie View A&M University, where he received his bachelor's in business administration degree in marketing and a master's of arts degree in sociology. Dr. Smith is also a graduate of Columbus University, and Thurgood Marshall School of Law, where he received a doctorate degree of philosophy in public administration and a Juris Doctorate of Law. Lord, honey, you was a schooling ass. Dr. Smith has a passion for fashion, the arts, music, and the entertainment, and has worked in the entertainment industry for over the past 20 years in some shape, form, or fashion. His range of experience includes owning his own record label and publishing company, doing contract work for the Black Expo USA, Mercury Records, Ichiban Records, the Disney Company's World Africa Network Entertainment, Black Heritage Television, and producing various entertainment events over the last 20 years. Dr. George Smith is proud to introduce a new concept that will ultimately become the next movement in reality TV offerings. The Life Atlanta, a step forward in reality TV. Atlanta has vastly become a recognizable market in the entertainment industry, but what is not known nationally is that Atlanta is also the mecca of African American gay men. This is evident in Atlanta's African American gay population, which is ever growing daily. The Life Atlanta is a reality-based show that follows the lives of African American gay men who live interesting lives. These guys live in the challenges of being professional black men who are openly gay. They represent the challenges of everyday struggles of relationships, striving for economic gain, fatherhood, scandal, and self-fulfillment. So, without any further ado, I want you to welcome, this is the one and only, this is Dr. George H. Smith. Dr. Smith, darling, hello, baby.
What's going on, guy?
Honey, everything is going in the right direction. I am beautifully blessed and deliciously divine, and so are you.
You know, I just love you to death.
Oh, that's healthy. Okay, now resurrect me and bring me back to life, too, sugar, because I can love you to the next life.
I bring you back, and I'm giving you five times what you have in the former life.
Oh, now see there. Go ahead on, baby. I love you for that. Oh, do you know, this here, Just a little background for the children, honey. We met face to face at Terrence Dean's book signing here in Atlanta a few weeks ago. Well, now it's been about a month or so ago, and it was at that moment where, after hearing you for the first time, and after going to YouTube and watching the clip, I became very intrigued, and I wanted to go further into this particular medium because I wanted to make sure that you had a voice. The panel discussion that we had there at the book signing was a cute panel, but I think because of time, we wasn't able to explore like we needed to explore. So I wanted to give you the opportunity to not necessarily give a sales pitch, but we're going to take this reality show that you've created, and we're going to break it on down and find out why it's necessary. So that's my first question to you. Why did you feel that creating this was a necessary step in the evolution of reality television?
Well, I guess the first way to answer that, I thought it was just necessary for me to tell my own story. I think it's necessary as we as African-American people, and especially in the gay subculture, that we have to start telling our own stories. For so long, our stories have been interpreted and told for us, and for me, you know, I want to tell the story of who George Smith is and what this life is about. And I came up with the concept with the reality show simply from having conversation with friends over the years and things that would happen, things that I would experience and stuff. And they just thought it was quite interesting, you know, some of the things that I would go through and some of the friends that I have. It was funny as you were reading my bio. And you got through reading the value of the education, you kind of breathe like, ooh, you've been in school a long time. But for me, doing that, it was just a natural progression for me. It's just something that I wanted to do. I went to school, being the first one in my family to go to college, so if I can get through this bachelor's, you know, okay, I'm good. Got through the bachelor's, if I can get through this master's, I'm good. And then I wanted a PhD. I got halfway through the PhD, and then I wanted a law degree, so I said, I finished the PhD, and then I'm going to law school. So for me, that was my journey. Why some people looked at it like, why, how can you? It was just something that I put my mind to, and I did it. And people always looked at me and said, you know, it's something about that guy. What people have to understand in my story, what I do for me, and I do for the future of my son. And so while it may, if it's interesting, great, but it's definitely genuine. What you see is what you get with me.
Oh, I say that. Okay, what you see is what you get, honey. All right. Okay, so now you developed this concept, okay? How long did it take you to go from concept to actual the footage that we see, that's the infamous 5-minute clip on YouTube?
Yes, as they said when they interviewed me for this magazine, the 5 minutes that stopped America. Well, I actually wrote the concept a couple of years ago while I was still in Houston. I wrote the concept shortly after seeing the initial offerings for the A-list. When it first started premiering. And I had watched a particular show called Model City, which I have a good friend on. His name is Zarek, and Zarek had come out as a black gay figure. And then, of course, The Housewives of Atlanta was on, and Atlanta was hot, and then, you know, Sex and the City being my favorite show. And in Houston, when I lived there, you know, me and my sister, I call her my twin, we're 2 years and 1 day apart. Her name is Trania. We just had an interesting life. You know, we love nice things. We dress nice. And we just had a nice life and we provided for our kids. And we had nice parties and stuff. And people would always want to come and hang out with us and stuff like that. And I remember one day for our birthday party, someone said, y'all should get a video camera because this would be interesting for people to see. So then I started thinking. I started looking at reality shows. And I said, hell, my life is interesting. So why not share the vision with someone else and just inspire somebody else to be themselves? So I think for me, the main thing to take away is to always be yourself and don't let anybody marginalize you or anybody dictate to you what you should be or what the requirements are. Because every time you meet those requirements, they're going to change them on you. So you are forever
chasing
someone else's bar.
Would you say that? Every time you meet those sets of requirements, the bar raises, and so you end up living life for somebody else and never yourself. Say that.
Right. And you're never happy. And for me, I learned a long time ago to do what I was going to do, but do it and live my life the way I wanted to and by my rules. So I was always one, you know, with the degrees. I have the earrings. I dress, you know. I can be very conservative sometimes. I can be very wild sometimes. You know, if you see me in person, you know I'm tatted up. But at the end of the day, don't judge me by what you see. Judge me by what you hear and what I do, because I've set my own bar. I'm a very well-educated, successful black man, but I live life on my terms. And to me, that's what the show is all about, is living life on your terms of who you are. I'm a black gay professional man who happens to be a father, which is the most respect and responsibility that I feel I have in my life is to my son. So the show is a reflection of I just wanted to share my story with people who are interested, and maybe there are some other guys like me that are out there and dealing with the same issue. Because I don't use the word struggling, because I think struggling is a defeated word, just dealing. Because we deal with life. You start struggling with life, you already saying you're losing. I deal with life. And sometimes life gets me a little by the neck sometimes, but then I trip it and I put it back down in its place, and then I walk in victory.
Okay, did you put it back down in its place, darling?
You know, sometimes
I love
it can get
that.
It
well,
can
you know
get
what?
You sometimes.
One of my spiritual mentors, respectfully, Alfreda Lenoir, she has written her book, Go to Hell, and in that she says, life shows up so that you show up. Because you're going to, just like you said, you're going to have to deal with it one way or the other. So life is going to show up, and it will show up so that you can show up. And then
exactly.
Show out. How about it? Okay.
Exactly.
I love that. So now we've gone into this concept. We wrote the treatment. You said you've written the script. How about the casting and getting all of that together? What was that process for you? And actually, it was, you know, it went from a dream to a vision. What was that entailing for you?
Well, what happened is that when I relocated here to Atlanta, I simply just assimilated with some of my friends that I've been friends with over the years, and I shared the concept with them. One of the things that was interesting about the dynamics of it is that a lot of my friends that I probably hung out with socially a lot, they didn't live in Houston. They lived in Atlanta, because I always traveled when I was in Houston. We always met up, you know, at Miami, you know, for Sizzle. We was always here in Atlanta. If not Atlanta, then we'd go to D.C., New York. We'd go to the San Juan Brothers Cancun. So we were always stopping in somewhere for some big party. It would be the group. But what I wanted to do is just to get an everyday glimpse. Now, the funny thing about the cast is that all of my friends were not necessarily friends with each other.
Oh.
They knew each other, but not necessarily friends with each other. And friends from the statement that, you know, Atlanta is a cliquish city, you know, because I'm going to tell it like it is. You have cliques.
God help us.
Yes. You know, it's this clique, that clique, this clique. So while all my friends were very well-known, very popular, had social status, they were all in different cliques. So with me coming to the city, pulling from, you know, this is one friend, this is one friend, this is one friend, it just brought about an interesting set of dynamics and personalities. But for me, being the nucleus, those guys probably would not have been in one setting together, sharing a moment of space and time. So that's what made the casting so interesting for us.
Baby.
Yeah, it got real interesting.
What you have just described is like in street culture, you have just taken a member from all the other gangs and said, okay, we're going to have this powwow and come meet this treaty. Okay.
Well, almost, you know, because when you look at the cast, they are from very different social, you know, backgrounds in terms of Atlanta and the social cliques, but all of them are very well known.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was a kind of interesting dynamic when everyone got together. I think for the process of the show, I always have to start off and just be very honest, you know, and give God credit for who's the head of my life. I honestly did not have a clue how I was going to get this show off the ground, but, you know, I believe in speaking things into existence and getting that vision board together, because when you write the vision down and you make it plain, you can see it.
So I
wrote the vision out, you know, and I got into Atlanta, and I said, well, God, I'm here. Let's make it happen. And I met one of my frat brothers. I'm also into a fraternity. I'm a cap. I'm a pretty boy. I met a fraternity brother of mine, and I was new to the city. He knew I was new to the city, and we met and we hung out. About maybe 3 days, no, 3-4 days later, he gave me a call and wanted to introduce me to another one of our frat brothers. Now, once I was running, I only told him a very small portion of what I was thinking about with the show. I didn't go into detail because I don't believe you don't share your dream with everybody. You know, you share your dream too much. You know, it becomes a beautiful nightmare sometimes because people have too much information.
Right.
But I told him very, very little information that I was thinking about doing a gay reality show. And that's basically all I told him. It's an all-black male cast. Well, what ends up happening is that he calls me and he wants me to meet another frat brother of ours who is a line producer with the Housewives of Atlanta.
Okay.
So he makes that contact, and my frat brother and I, we meet and stuff, and we decide that this is a project that we both can work on. And so we decide to start getting it together, and we got ready to write the treatment to film. And, you know, I didn't know what constituted, you know, the makeup of a reality show because I had never done it. So he kind of took me to school. This is how it's done. These are the formulas, because everything that you see on a reality show is reality, but it's kind of scripted reality. Because the bottom line is that you look at the personalities, and as a producer, you want to hit the trigger points. So why they don't tell people what to say, but definitely they set things up. You know, so if they know person A don't like person B and has an issue because they both slept with person C, they gonna set up a dinner where person A, B, and C is gonna be there, and then we gonna roll the cameras and we gonna hope for the best and see what happens. And so what you do, you learn the personalities, and there's a lot of in-depth on-camera interviews, and you're asking a lot of questions about the other people, what are the thoughts and stuff, and this person is just sitting there, and you're getting all this footage. So we go through all this footage, and we come up with our storylines. Because through that, when people talk, they're going to give you what you need at that point. So we put together, you know, an interesting storyline in terms of what we thought would be a good teaser to introduce everybody's character. Now, it was never meant to be in totality, because in 5 minutes, you can't get to know six guys, you know, so that gives everybody about 45 seconds apiece. And it's going to take you a little longer to crack me. I'm good at what I do, so you're going to spend some time on this one right here. But I think for that point, you know, you got a little taste and stuff. The next step was we put it out there, and what no one knows is that there were a lot of things going on behind the tables where I was initially, from the start, I was talking to a network.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't publicized that, but there was a network interested in the show from the start. Somehow the trailer got leaked to YouTube. And let me just say this about this internet. Y'all be careful on this damn internet. You could get famous. You could get ruined. There's a lot of stuff that happened. This internet ain't no joke today, because I learned a valuable lesson. We had a premiere with the Lions Den, with Gregory Allen, who's my good friend. We had done that in January at MLK just to show Atlanta what was going on with the show. So we showed the real, no big deal. Still didn't tell everybody that we were working with the network. At the time, I was working with Princess from Loft 22, and Princess is the original creator of the Housewives of Atlanta. And it's interesting because I met my frat brother, who was a producer, and then I got a chance to work with the actual creator. And what was so interesting about that connection is that her story was so similar to mine. She had written a reality show and did the same thing that I did with her cast, and it was called The Other Ladies of Atlanta. And the Housewife brand actually took her show and absorbed it. And so when people get, a lot of folks really don't know that, because that's why the Housewives of Atlanta is a lot different from a lot of the other brands, because they were absorbed. They weren't created. So she understood where I was coming from as a first-time executive producer, a first-time person writing and creating something for television. So she took me under her wings, and she, you know, she worked with me, and she actually taught me a lot about the business in a short period of time. Well, at that particular point, we were working with a network who was interested in getting a show and interested in, you know, putting the show on TV. So when it went to YouTube, I didn't mind it because I said, well, you know, Atlanta, so it's no big deal. Well, lo and behold, somebody decides to send it over to, it's one of them blogs. You know, I'm not a big blogger, but it was on the main one that talks a lot about the straight folk stuff. So it said DL show in Atlanta, the first DL reality show, which was an oxymoron in itself because you can't be DL and be on a reality show. But there is such a uncomfortableness in America with being black and gay. Now, it's all right to be white and gay, but when you're a black man and you're gay and you ain't wearing purses and heels, that's an issue. And so everybody got in the uproar and start talking about they automatically jumped on the down low issue, which is not. I ain't down low. I'm up on high beams. I make it very clear. I'm a black gay man and very proud of who I am. Same gender loving. Okay, I don't need nothing low, nothing down, and nothing unsure of what they want. You know, that's not me, and that's not what I represent. But they did jump on that particular bandwagon, and that's what started the fear around America. Because here's this thing: you see the cat. And I like to think we're considerably good-looking. We have nice bodies and stuff, not typically of what you think you see in an all-gay cast. And it just became a ruckus around America that MediaTakeout.com, that's the MediaTakeout, put on there, this download thing. And I'll tell you, man, we just started hitting blogs every day. And to me, people fail to see the real issue of the show versus the sensationalism of it. Now, I'm not complaining because of that today, I still got to know that I'm still negotiating to get on TV. So I can't complain. But what I do want to explain to people and what people haven't heard is that, you know, it's a bigger issue at stake here for our community. We have got to understand we don't want people telling our stories. I'm telling my story. My story is not indicative, and it doesn't represent every black gay man. I've never made the disclaimer. I'm not going to ever make a disclaimer. It represents me. So for me to tell my story, I put my checkbook behind my mouth. I didn't go knocking on somebody's door. And so for those of you who have followed the show, they know that I've changed production companies. I've walked away from the table, from a deal and everything, because I own this outright. And because I own it, I get a chance to say what it does and what it doesn't do. Now, when you go ask somebody to produce a show for you, you don't own it.
Right.
And
exactly.
You have to do what they tell you to do. Now, the second thing that I need to say, as you just dish the tea, everybody all of a sudden want to go, I got a reality show around Atlanta. Every time I look up, somebody got a damn camera, which I'm happy that you're taking ownership and you want to tell your story, but now you want to sensationalize becoming a joke. At this particular point, because everybody got a show.
Okay.
Where
okay.
I am right now, because I've learned the business, you know, and I can just tell you when I entered into this was a project, and now it's become an assignment. Because now the responsibility of, if this is the first show that goes to TV, it's going to set the tone for everything else. And what people have to realize in our community, whether they agree with the show or not, which I don't have those arguments because it's all about our freedom of speech and expression. But whether they agree with the show or not, what they have to understand, because this show, I'm not the first show and not the first concept. Mine just broke through because all of the controversy.
Mm.
But there are a lot of pilots that you can find that will predate my pilot. But for some odd reason, you know, God chose mine to kind of break through. And I've always said, if I'm like John, if I had to go before Jesus to make the way, then that's my lot and that's what I'll accept. I'm not sure. We'll, you know, we'll have to see because the ink ain't on the contract yet. But what we have to realize with this is that this is a possibility for us to tell our stories. And if we don't tell our stories, if this doesn't make it, this could set us back if it's not done right. Because if we don't support ourselves, who's going to support us?
Exactly.
And to me, that's a greater issue. You know, we've gotten a lot of, a lot of backlash from some people in the gay community saying, well, that's not representative of us. I never said that. I said, this is my story. And because I wanted to tell my story, I wrote my check. Now, in saying that, everybody else is coming up with these cameras and stuff and talking about they got a show. The way the business works is that when you have a bona fide show, normally you won't be out here telling everybody you got a show. That's the first thing that the networks told me when I sat on the table. When I tell you they checked my code and got me together, when they said, okay, we'll how you got here, but you're at the table now. So we're going to tell you what we expect from you at the table. Now, in a regular situation, when you got a real show and a real concept that you're doing, what you're going to do, you're not going to put all this information out there. What you're going to do, you're going to shoot a pilot, and you're going to get you some people who can get to some people. Because first of all, you cannot walk up into a network and sell a show off the street. Let me just say that again. You can't walk up and sell a show to a network off the street. So all these folk walking around here talking about you got a show, you got a deal, lies. Let me tell you what you got. you got a concept for a show, and you may or may not have a production company that thinks it can sell the show.
Mm.
And then with that, the next step is if you find a production company that says they want to sell the show or they can get to the networks, it's two ways that deal can go down. You can either get a co-production deal with that company, or they're going to absorb your stuff, and you're going to have to fight for the rights of owning your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they absorb you, you have to sign all your rights away in the contract. And they may sell it, and they may not sell it. So once again, all these kids come out here, I got a show. Get your lawyer, get your business right first. Because when you sell your rights away for the show, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, I remember when I sat down with my first production company, they literally told me at the table that they did not know if I was going to be able to get a producer's credit on my own show.
What?
They had to fight for that. They couldn't guarantee that. And an executive producer credit was totally out the question for my first show because I hadn't produced a show, didn't have a name in the business, yada, 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 this and yada that. Okay? That was what I was told. I sit at the table and was saying, you mean to tell me I got a network interested in this and everybody at the table is going to eat off of something I own and I don't get the proper credit? Well, that's the way the business goes. And it happens. There are reputable people who have given up certain titles because they wanted to get on TV, and that's how the business is done. So, you know, it just depends. And so I hear everybody saying, I got a show. Well, you may be with a production company, but when that production company goes to sell the show to the network, if it's a new production company that they don't have any credits to their name, you're not going to get a deal. Because it's all about production companies have to have credits to their name. They have to have produced a certain amount of shows before they go bid to the network to do a show. Because what's going to happen if this new production company you're dealing with don't have the credits, then they have to do a co-production with a bigger production company. Now, there's another scenario that happens, and it's happening right here in Atlanta. I won't call anybody's name, but there's a show that's coming out of Atlanta that's a gay show, and the networks wanted them directly. So what the network is going to do is to sign them and assign them to a production company. You don't. Networks do not shoot shows. Production company does. So I'm trying to educate these kids this JD this morning.
Okay.
Because everybody running around, they got a show. I'm going to educate them today. So the network is going to sign you. They will sign you, but they're going to assign you next to a production company. And with that production company, they'll shoot the show, you know, manage the budget and stuff and go from there. You know, I just keep hearing all this stuff every day. So-and-so got a show, so-and-so got a show. Let me tell you something. You ain't got a show unless you're on TV, unless you got a check. You got a concept.
Okay.
That's why I tell people all the time, I got a concept because I ain't got the check yet. And until they sign the check, I got a concept that's on the way to being a show because in this business, you will have shot and produced the show, and guess what? Something can happen before it gets on TV. And it still doesn't go on TV. And the good part about that, a person in my shoes, we still get paid. You know, once we start shooting, I get paid. That's just the bottom line.
Right. Exactly.
So, you know, I just had to get that disclaimer out there because I want people to understand because in as much as I want us to be empowered and I want us to tell our own stories, I don't want us looking stupid out here running around talking about we got show and shooting over here and shooting over there because if you really got a show and you really got somebody behind you, they're going to tell you to sit your behind down. But the more information you put in the media, the quicker somebody else comes steal that idea and get it to TV.
Exactly.
That's the first thing they told me when I sat down at the table.
And then, too, also the quality of the project because – I made this comment at the book signing because I take offense. Let me just put it out there. I get offended quickly when I see folks take my craft I'm an actor and I'm in this entertainment industry, and I see all for the sake of saying they have product, you have half-assed quality. You know, you don't know what the hell you're doing. You don't have the right people on the project. Everybody coming in wanting to be a chief and nobody wanting to be the damn Indians and carrying on. And then you get half-ass shit that number one, you have not taken time out to say that my name is on this and it needs to be something of integrity. And then number two, Dillnut, we are a subculture of a subculture, okay? We, and I'm saying that because the gay culture is a subculture, but black gay culture is
exactly.
a subculture. Okay,
exactly.
And then we are all bottled up under those same stereotypes that these children put out there and all these different images that I'm on the front line. I've been on the front line for 27 years out here. You know, I'm gay. Hey, I'm gay. Look at me, blah, 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 blah. I could do this. I could do that. And being there, these images that go out there and this half-ass shit is of what I have to fight against because now mainstream populace is saying all of y'all must be like that.
Right, but here's the deal, though. There's two things that you said that's very important. That because today I want to educate. That's why I'm here today. I want to educate because I want to see more stories. I want to see more producers. I want to see more shows, but I want it done right. First point you brought up was quality. I have to give credit to the guy I was working with at the time by the name of Corey Miller. Through his relationships, we were able to pull cameramen who actually were shooting for reality shows that was on TV. We pulled them
wow.
on their off days. We pull Edison. So when you see that reel, that is a quality reel, one of the most quality reels you're going to see because that reel looks like it's already on TV. But we had people who were doing TV and editing for TV and shooting for TV at the time. So we didn't go get somebody. I mean, this is no disdain to the people who are coming up. But I realized I needed to make a statement, and I needed to make a bold statement with that thing. So I had to make sure when you looked at it, it looked like it was already on TV. So that costs more money, and that costs for you to go get people who knew what they were doing and who were already doing it for TV. The second thing
right.
is understanding that what we represent. Now, I think what has me up in a little uproar now is that I'm noticing in the media that all these people who are already known as, well, not icons, but as some kind of personality and stuff, who we knew are gay, now it's this newfound thing, they're coming out. And they want to take a part of this newfound, you know, get the money out the gay stuff. I'm not knocking a brother who's a newscaster, but when he said he was coming out the closet, tell me something I didn't know.
Right.
I mean,
right.
really. I mean, when they make this big deal, Don is gay, I'm like, really? I mean,
right.
are we surprised? You know,
okay,
and then he does
right.
his book. He does his book, he does his tour, and what we have to understand what we're going up against now, because we're trying to tell real stories. You look at my life, I don't make my money off TV yet. Now, God willing, I will be soon, but right now I don't. So I'm telling my real story and stuff. And so we're competing against people who are already out there in the media, in the spotlight, who now it is fashionable, and it's financially fashionable for them to come out. I'm watching Wendy not too long ago, and Sandra Bernhardt is on there. You know, talking about she recently came out and she's a lesbian. Girl, you've been a dyke since the beginning.
Exactly.
What's new,
she
what's
recently
new about
came
this?
Out. What?
Right. What's new about all this information? But what happens is that it's a lot more comfortable for the media and Hollywood to accept them because they've known this secret for so long and they can.
Right.
It's more palatable. And then here we're coming off the streets, so to speak, telling true stories. So we have to understand what we're dealing with, and we have to understand we have to band together to tell our stories, because if not, that's just another form of somebody else telling our story.
Exactly.
That brother on TV,
okay.
he's not going to give it to you raw and uncut like I am, because he's already been conditioned for TV. That's why he was in a closet on TV forever. So now that he's out on TV, he's only going to go so far.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never see him kissing mm-hmm. his man on TV. You're not going to see that. But his book's
right.
gonna go number one. When he wrote that book, it went number one because he used the media and they used him. So we have to understand what we're up against with telling true stories and what the reality of it is. We live in a time where we have stars now. Once they have their time in the sun, they're coming back for their second time around with a reality show. It's just a lot
right.
that we're competing with. So we really need to be mindful when we do our projects to do them right, because those are the ones that get through. Regardless is that if it's our own personal view, they still look at it as something that represents the masses. So we have to make sure
mm-hmm.
that our homework
mm-hmm.
is done and we're ready to do business when we slide through. Because we never know which one's going to slide through, you know. But for MediaTakeOut.com, doing what it did and then World Hip Hop Star, what it did on my show, I don't know if I'd have the notoriety that I have across America right now. I think that I would.
Right.
But instantly, when it hit their blog and stuff, and in one day, 2 million people stopped to look at their blog in one day, of course, it helped.
Oh, exactly.
So we have to, we have to be ready at all times with our projects and ready to go. And, you know, and I'm not saying you're going to be always be 100% ready, but you need to have your position ready from the words they go on what you're going to do with your project, have your project ready from the words they go, and be ready to run with it. Because I can tell you, when I started this project last December, I've had more hits, more bruises than anything, but my foundation for the project was right, because I was a businessman first. And no matter what came my way, I was able to rebound. Now, some rebounds were slower than others, but yet and still, I was able to rebound.
Okay.
So I ain't going to tell you no lie. I ain't going to blow no smoke up nowhere that don't belong. I'll blow your charge up your nose, but I ain't going to blow no smoke up your ass.
All right now. Oh, see. Okay.
Now, you wanted me to keep it real.
Okay. Well, here, well then let's go here, because let me play devil's advocate just for half a second, because
okay.
Here's something that I would love for you to just explain. And I know I want folks to really hear you say this is your story.
Right.
And I need folks to understand that, okay? And I'm a throw this card there, because one of the things about gay culture, and that's across the board, is that business understands the gay dollar. They know that rainbow dollar, honey, has more green in it than anything.
Okay.
And one of the things about us is that we have become a culture that has been known for our extravagance and known for our opulence. Do you think that, or have you encountered criticism about the show in those little 5 minutes that they've seen, that it may be a little too pretentious because a lot of folks don't see black gay men in that light?
You know what I have? And
without
what I
pulling
say
a stunt, that is. Without
right.
pulling a stunt.
And what I say to that is for me, you know, I think it's everybody's walking everybody's truth. You know, one thing I can
okay.
say about me, you know, from across the country, there are going to be a lot of people that, you know, they can say they don't like me for whatever reason. You know, one thing is if you do business with me, you get paid. You know, I don't cheat nobody. Second thing is my bread is consistent. You know, unlike a lot of these girls that came to Atlanta and reinvented themselves because they came from Mississippi, Alabama, you know, someplace, and the girls wouldn't really nothing, and they got here to Atlanta and became something, you know, and didn't want to reinvent themselves. I didn't reinvent myself when I came here. I was the same brand.
Dig it.
So for me, I'm just being me. Now, I'll tell you, at any day, I work like anybody else to provide for me and my son and to make sure I have, and that's my driving force. What I do with my dollar ain't for what everybody to do, because for me, when my bills are paid and my tithes are paid and my son is taken care of, I want a cute pair of red bottoms. Somebody else may want something else.
Right.
You know, but that's my story, and I write the story the way I want it to end. I don't live that story by anybody else's. You ain't got to agree. You ain't got to endorse it because you ain't paying for it.
Right, right.
So I don't have no problem with that. So what people will say, well, this is too much and this is too much of that, live your life on your terms, how you want to live it. I don't judge anybody how they live their life, and I allow people to judge me how I live my life. I like
exactly.
nice things. Anybody who's been to my house knows my house looks like that. I change my house up ever so often. I got ballroom curtains. You know, the material of my curtains are made out of, the drag girls can make a dress out of. That's just who I am. You know,
okay.
I'm going to the boardroom with a suit, and I can go to the basketball court with a pair of sneakers on. You know, I just
okay.
live my life in my truth. And for people who have something to say, that I'm okay with that, but that's your opinion. You know, at the
mm-hmm.
end of the day, everybody has a story. Everybody has a beginning story. Everybody has the middle of the story. And everybody has an end, which is the future. And who knows what that end is going to be, because it can be rewritten at any time. But I think with the opulence and stuff, I just think that, you know, they're going to be those people that have issues with regardless of what they see. Because we still live in a closet homophobic environment, even within our
that's
community.
That's true. That's true.
Because that's
true.
Alone, when we were doing the SBA summit for Pride, I thought this statement was so interesting. I can't think of who made it, but I remember sitting there, and I think you were in the room when they said, you know, with Atlanta's black gay men, a lot of them out, but not out.
Right. Right.
And that was such a profound statement and stuff, because here in Atlanta, you got all these black gay men circulating, but they want to say, my mom don't know I'm gay. My job
yeah.
don't know I'm gay. But they always in a gay club. They always on some boy's back, on some boy's pole. Now, here's the deal.
Ooh.
Let's just get this straight. If you over 30 years old, you black, professional, successful, and gay, and you ain't in a marriage and got no kids and running on women, I think you need to look in the mirror and check yourself. Because around 30 years old, and sometimes
right.
you can stretch it to 35, but definitely around 30, and when you a real bachelor, you done graduated, you got a little money, you done the things, there's a progression in life where you want to start settling down, you want to start procreating. You got a very
right.
small percentage of men who will be hoes for the rest of their life. But all this front and center, your mama know you was gay. She knew you was gay when she saw you running around there and your towel looking at your cousin, you know, the wrong way. She knew.
Okay.
You ain't fooling
okay.
nobody. You know, but that's the culture that we live in. And my thing is, to those brothers, if that's where you are in your truth, then okay, fine. Don't step away from anything until it's your time. But I'm not going to allow you or anybody else to judge me because I can walk in my truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the biggest questions on the summit was when I did the youth summit as well, and, you know, it was interesting because they asked a question about bisexuality. And they invited me because they felt like I was an older person and I was a little more hip, and so they wanted to get my view. And we just had a difference of views because the younger folks didn't have a problem with people being bisexual. They was like, okay, cool. I'm like, I want to know what size your toast going to be buttered on. I ain't competing with Eve now. I'll tell Steve to go sit out somewhere because I'm finer than Steve, you know, and I look better than Steve.
Right.
But I'm not going to play with you and Eve. And it was such a conversational piece because of the difference in the generations, you know. And so I said to them, there's not a right or wrong answer. What there is an answer that fits you and your truth. And I keep going back
right.
to that word, what is your truth? Where I'm
mm-hmm.
in my life and what I possess and what I portray is my truth. And it's just that
okay.
some people will like it and some people will don't, but so goes life. We all have to understand we may not have to like everybody's truth, but we definitely have to accept everybody's truth because we're all of who we are and we're going to be what we're supposed to be in our due time, period.
Exactly. All right, now let me take that. I'm going to go a step further because one of the things that we know about reality shows, and let me see this, 989, I see your hand up, baby. I'm going to come to you in just a few moments. The way that reality shows have been set up, and you know, there is the resident bitch on the program. There has got to be the resident bitch, the one who is just the messy one, or the one everybody gravitates to that one because, oh, I just love them because they keep it real. They, you know, they don't take no mess and blah blah blah. But one of the things about gay culture is that there is the norm for us. According to societal definitions, because we've all been very catty, you know, we quick, you know, with the quips and the one-liners and the finger snaps and the this and the third. What will In the Life do to either fortify that belief system or to destroy it?
Well, these are my plans for the life, where I am in my current situation. You know, I still retain creative rights on the show. With
uh-huh.
the production company that I'm with. So I still have approval rights, which is really unusual for my situation in the first time out. I actually have what is called a co-production, which is what I was told I could never have from the first company that I worked with. But when I walked away from the table and was ready to sit down and say, you know what, God, this ain't for me, I'm okay. I'm with a wonderful company now that has shows on TV, and they gave me a co-production deal. So I'm still at the table of being in charge of my project along with them. It is my hope for the lightness. What you guys see in the five-minute reel, a lot is going to be different when you see it in this next form of fashion. Because we've learned a lot, and a lot has transpired, and we are changing a lot. But my hope for the life is when you guys see it, that it would be a show that follows the lives of African-American men who are gay, who have interesting lives. And those interesting lives include a variety of issues, whether it's relationships, whether it's being a father, whether it's having the struggles of, you know, combating against your past, trying to get to a better future. But it would be real-life situations that you face and that you'll be able to identify with. And some of those real-life situations are going to be very squeaky clean, and some of them are not going to be very squeaky clean, but something that any and everybody can identify with, and that is the goal for the Life Atlanta and for the brand
okay.
itself.
Okay, dig that. Now, here's No. I'm going to hold this. So let me take a commercial break. When I come back after this little commercial break, I'm coming to you, 989, for your question, because I want to hear you before I go here, because I got this this next question, baby, is going to be the $65,000 one for all the cash and the prizes. So let me take this little short little break, and I'll be right back.
All right, baby.
Hey, are you looking for that special place to take someone for a good down-home southern meal and some live entertainment? Well, have I got the place for you. Right here in the underground Atlanta, we have the Georgia Peach Restaurant and Lounge. Enjoy southern hospitality and southern fusion cuisine. This is the perfect place to dine and mingle while experiencing a home-like atmosphere. Stop by and enjoy invigorating jazz and blues music with live entertainment on the weekends. We're open Monday through Saturdays. Lunch is served from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. Dinner served from 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. Appetizers from 10 p.m. until close. Sunday brunch, 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. If you are a government employee, military personnel, or airline employee, you will enjoy a 10% discount on all of your dine-in food. Located in the underground Atlanta, right there at Kenny's Alley in the heart of Atlanta, you have the Georgia Peach Restaurant and Lounge. For more information, contact them at 404-348-4300. That's 404-348-4300. Or go online and look them up at www.dinegapeach.com. That's www.dinegapeach.com. The Georgia Peach Restaurant and Lounge. Southern hospitality and Southern fusion cuisine.
This is Karen Reese, and I'm all the way from Jamaica. I'm dishing tea with Big Meech right here on Blog Talk Radio.
You're dishing tea with Big Meech right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network.
And we are back. All right, if you're just joining us right now, honey, we are talking with Dr. George H. Smith. He is the creator and cast member, honey, with the Life Atlanta, the soon-to-be-released new television reality show that is focused on the lives of LGBT men of color and their affluence, their opulence, and their lifestyle. Okay? And I want to continue our conversation. I have someone here that's on hold. You've been on hold for a little minute. I want you to come in with your question before I go in with the rest that I want to say. So 989-790. Hello there, darling. You're dishing tea with Big Meech. Just say hello to Dr. Smith.
Hey, doctor. How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, baby. How you doing? You know what? I was so excited to call today, but I don't really have a question. I just got some comments, a few. I'm just so happy to hear that it's out black educated man doing this for our community. I agree with you on the children trying to be halfway in and halfway out, and I'm sick of it. So tired of seeing these thug-looking boys and they queenie as all get out. Just girls trying to be boys. Ain't fooling nobody. Okay. It's just a mess, and it's just good to see somebody out here trying to live in their truth. Before it even came out that you was a Christian man, I already knew it. Because people don't understand what living in truth is. Being truly in spirit and in truth is being who you are all the time. Okay, I'm a nurse, and I'm out at work, I'm out with my family, and I'm married to my partner. So I'm just really excited that this is going to happen. I've been waiting for something like this for a while, so thank you.
Thank you for your support, and just thank you for being one of those people living in your truth. That's so important, because when people see that, they have to understand, you know, how can we expect people to accept us when we still have this veil of shame? And when we have this veil of shame, they feel like this is something that's not merited, and they're going to always treat us in this back room situation with our lifestyle. And my thing is, you're not my God to judge me. God knew who I was when he formed me in my mother's womb and yet let me live. There were a million sperms that could have ignited that egg, but I was the one who made it because I was supposed to be here. And in being here, I got a purpose.
But what many of them don't realize is when you're in the closet, it's a lot harder. When you truly living in your truth and you express that everywhere you go, people respect you for who you are.
You know,
and the judgments go away.
But I understand, let me tell you this. And the reason why I tell people that I respect everybody where they are, because I know what it feels like to live in that closet, to live under that pressure, that pressure of expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody expects
mm-hmm.
of you. And that's pressure because I lived it. One of the things I used to get really upset with, just to give you a quick story, I've been in four major relationships. And my second lover, who is now my best friend in the world, I dated him because at a point when I met him, I was not very comfortable in who I was. I was still straddling and trying to hide. And he was so gay. His name was Jeffrey. And I called him Cottontail because he was just so gay. And he was okay with being gay. And that was very attractive to me at the time because I used to tell him, I want to feel like you feel. You don't have this pressure of living up to these expectations or what everybody wants of you and expects of you. You're just okay with being who you are. And one of the things that he taught me in a relationship that liberated me, no matter where we were, I was always his first priority as his partner. And he would tell any and everybody, you know what, first of all, let me take care of George. This is my number one. So, like we had a dinner party, he made sure I had something to eat. No, baby, you said I got your plate. He was never ashamed to say, this is my partner, this is my first priority. And he really helped me grow up to understand it's okay to be who you are and to live in your truth. And I understand those brothers because there's a lot of pressure from our families. It's a lot of pressures from my friends out there in society. But you have to get that weight up off of you because that weight will literally crush you on the inside.
Exactly. Well, a lot of times there's more pressure coming from yourself than your family and all the outside influences. And I agree with that best friend thing because that's who taught me, my best friend. Okay.
Right.
You know, I was liberated by a queen that carried a purse and was always wearing very androgynous clothing. And even though at that time I was trying to hide, it never bothered me about that person being who they were. And they know who I'm talking about.
I want to say one thing, and that, you know, I have a sister. I have sisters, but I have two half sisters that are gay, and I have a sister by my mom. She's straight and very supportive of me. But black women are very important in my makeup. But one of the things that has bothered me over the years, you know, with some black women, is that when they see an attractive guy and someone who could be very suitable for the other sex and he's gay, that what a waste comes in. I want to plant some seeds today and help some people grow. Don't say that. Don't do that. Don't think that because it's not a waste. Because in those statements and stuff, we don't understand the seeds that we're planting in people's lives. Because if you see a fine black dude who's professional and degreed and you say, oh, what a waste, then what you're really saying to that person is that, okay, the gay lifestyle deserves anything less than good.
Right.
That's what you're really saying.
I lived that life. And Demetrius, a big beach here, that's my best friend, okay? He knows I live that life. We be together. And the women would come on to me or whatnot and say, well, why are you even with him? Because that's
right.
My friend. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and black women have to stand up and to understand and rise to their point. To this day, my ex-wife, my son's mother, and I are the best of friends. She is one of the most important women in my life. I don't make a decision without calling my ex-wife, period. She is actually the lawyer, the attorney for the project.
Wow.
Well, how about that?
That's just how involved she is with my life. and supportive of my life, and I'm supportive of her life, her and her new wonderful husband. She just had a wonderful daughter 6 months ago, and, you know, we raised my son as a blended family and stuff. But, you know, we've come to a point where we started off as friends, and she supports me in who I am and the person that I am. And I just think that, you know, for me, I have a story to tell because I don't have those, you know, as much of the issues that I am faced with in my life, there are some things I'm so grateful for. I don't have baby mama drama. You know, we come together. We have a 18-year-old son, and what we said from day one of the divorce is, how can we make his life better? And anybody who knows me personally, not just know who thinks they know me because they know of me, but anybody who knows me personally, they know about the relationship between me and my ex-wife, and they know about the relationship with my son. You know, and I don't really get off into all this other stuff where people think they know, because, you know, there are a lot of people that know who you are from a personality speaker, but they don't know you personally. So that's why I can separate it. But I just think, to me, there's a story to be told, because I think there are a lot of guys out there who are in similar situations that I'm in. And, you know, hopefully by telling this story or just showing exposure of it, they can get something out of it. I think each cast member has something to bring to the table for someone, because they're so vastly different. And this is just a simple offering for the movement, because we're living in a day and time that we have to incorporate as a culture, as a subculture. You said about those rainbow dollars, and, you know, we've had this conversation before. Those rainbow dollars, we meet up in city to city partying and then celebrating, whether it's Black Gay Pride, whether it's a circus city. But my question is, where are those dollars circulating, and where are they going, and who are they helping? When we leave Pride down here, have we sent some child to school and gave them a scholarship?
Okay, see, don't you stop.
I'm going to talk about it now. Everybody that made their money, but what have we done to help our community?
Right. Okay, now.
The money is circulating, we spend money. We have got to incorporate. This show is not about me, because, like I tell people all the time, regardless of this show making it to TV or not, I'm on your talk show. I've been on several talk shows and several magazines about a five-minute reel that stopped America. Don't you think by now I can go get a job somewhere working in TV? I can do this in 5 minutes, 5 minutes on my small budget, what you think I can do with their money?
Right.
Exactly.
Say that. Okay.
So, you know, it ain't about me. And then besides that, I got credentials to go behind my name too.
Right.
So, they know I can produce something. You know what I'm saying? They know I can produce something.
Okay.
This is not about me. And that's and I think people fail to realize this. This is bigger than me, and that's what I realized when I got involved in it, because I'm going to be very honest with you. There are some days I wanted to walk away from this project because it was too much. It required too much of me. And I was praying as I was like, why? This is just too much. I'm trying to do something that's good for our community, and I'm getting beat up by the same community I'm trying to help.
See there.
Now, I just have one question right quick. Is your ex-wife and your son going to be a part of the project?
She will be. We are at a point with my son. My son is 14 years old. He's been in high school. And the way I've always been about my son, he knows about me. He's been knowing about me for about 5 years now. But the way I've always been about my son and his life is just that I want him to deal with life as it comes to him right now, and not deal with the unexpected of my life. Though he knows about me, I still keep my life separate from his to a certain degree, because I think that at his age, it's enough to deal with life at the way it comes at you naturally, and then to throw this in. That's not to say that he doesn't know that, you know, I have a lifestyle. He doesn't know, you know, he's met my partner, you know, when I was in a relationship, but I just don't involve him actively. And I don't think, for the show purposes, that I want a 14-year-old child subjected to all of the interpersonal stuff that happens and the exposure, because people don't respect boundaries.
No, exactly.
And he's a child. And if you want to see Dr. Smith, go there, mess with his child.
Right.
Okay.
And that's why I just said go bail. I mean, it's not that I don't think it's important for people to know that a gay man has a child, and that child was a part of his life in that genre, but I wanted to know, because I think a lot of people, especially in these reality shows, they involve these children way too much.
Way too much.
And these
forget the children have to deal with their own peers and their own peer pressure and stuff like that. So I do know for a fact that, you know, my ex-wife, she will be visual on the show, as well as my one sister who is gay. My straight sister will be visible because these are the essential people in my life and stuff like that. So that's going to be very interesting because we all just have a very close-knit relationship. But I think with my son, we're going to wait. And, you know, if God willing, it gets to TV and we have a few seasons, and maybe, you know, when he gets 16, 17, he may decide that this is what he wants to do, and then we'll visit it from there. But right now at 14, I just want him to concentrate on, you know, getting through high school, playing football.
I heard that.
That is my first little girlfriend, so you know we didn't have to talk.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Let me go ahead and put it out there. Freckles and blonde hair. You know we didn't have to talk.
Right. They had the serious talk.
We had serious talk.
Right.
You know, I don't pull that banana out and show them how to do. We ain't playing no games. I'm too sexy to be a granddaddy. Let me show you. Let me talk to you right quick.
Okay. I'm too sexy to be a granddaddy.
I'm not ready for that right now.
Fabulous Facebook quote. That's a T-shirt. I'm too sexy to be a granddaddy.
Come on.
Anywho. But those are the kind of things from my perspective and from my story angle that you will see. You may not see him on the show, but you would definitely see the stuff that I deal with, how I parent, you know, and just the challenges his mom and I have, you know. We're constantly on conversations. I'm constantly, you know, from one city to the other doing this and doing that, and we're sitting down as a blended family, what's best for him, looking at this and that. You'll see that, you know, part of my life. You'll see the fun part of my life when I get a chance to go out and some of the stuff that I do in the social arena, you know, hosting and stuff. You'll see some of the not-so-fun stuff, the headaches that I deal with some of the people and, you know, some of the personalities that we don't click with. I mean, I just want to get a real perspective of, you know, what it's like to walk in my truth and my skin. And hopefully someone out there can identify or at least extract something to be okay with what they're doing. Because I keep telling folk in Atlanta, and this is the most important point that I can make, only people that know about Black Pride who are associated with somebody who's associated with Black Pride who knows about us. When this thing hits TV, you're talking about Nebraska, Wyoming, places that don't know what it's like down here.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get those kind of people into your living room and seeing what's going on in your life, it's going to change the whole structure of how people think about what's Black and what's gay.
Exactly.
Atlanta Housewives did it.
Right.
You know, let me go ahead and with the elephant in the room, because this question always comes up. People always ask me about my opinion on Derek and Lawrence Tate. I love those guys. I truly love them. Let me tell you why I love them. I love them because what I see on TV, living here in Atlanta, is what I see when I see them out. When I see those guys out, when we're in our space, our environment, our club, they are what they're doing. Whatever they do on TV, they're that same personality, the way they are in a private setting with us. So for me, I love them. I love the fact that they're walking in their truth. What I don't like is everybody always trying to say you got to be against each other. No, there's plenty of room for all of us on TV.
Exactly.
You know, so my thing is, where it's not that many of us trying and stuff like that, I don't like to be in a room and we're not speaking because people want to divide and stuff. No, those guys, I love them. I love their style. I love their attitude because they're being true to who they are. Before I moved to Atlanta and when I saw them on TV and when I got here and met them, exactly what I saw on TV is what I saw in person. You know, and that's okay. Well, I don't choose to dress like that. Now, I wear a Johnny boot. That's a whole different kind of boot. For y'all who know fashion, you know what I'm talking about. That's why I said
okay,
that.
Now.
I wear a Johnny boot. You know, that's my high heel boot that I wear. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, all our other, you know, components, they collect that stuff, you know. But we each have different styles. We each have different ways of living. And as long as it's the truth, it's great to me. And so, you know, all of this back and forth.
It's so exciting, especially with this type of show, especially in the Black community, because like you said in the beginning, it's okay to be white and gay, but it's not okay to be Black and gay. You know, the first question my family asked me when I came out was I getting done or was I doing the doing? Why is that important? Either way it is, I'm still gay.
Right. Hey, but
that's the consensus of the Black community.
Those isms, because they come over into our community. There was another thing that I liked about the youth summit and stuff versus, you know, the older regime and stuff. In the youth summit, they were talking about positions. With these young kids, position don't matter. With, you know, 30, 35 and older, position matter. What does it matter whether you're sticking or getting stuck? You're gay.
Right.
Right.
Period.
What
right.
does it matter?
Okay.
You know, I don't, you know, so, but it, once again, it's this slave mentality that we have to break up from, because house slave versus field slave. You're all slaves. One of them just
right. okay.
slaves and the other.
Okay. Okay, say that now.
You know, one just say cool
and
the other. You know,
Grace Jones, slave to the rhythm either.
Okay. You know, so, I mean, it's the same thing, you know. Well, I'm masculine, feminine. Really? What does it matter? You're still gay? You're still
exactly.
testing a penis? You still get
that's always a big issue. And like you said, right. it has spilled over into the community because the children say that.
Over. It's
right.
crazy. And so for us, we have got to liberate ourselves from these isms, because we unfortunately become a victim, and then we victimize, almost like pledging. For those of you who are in a fraternity.
Oh, say that. Say
you
that.
Haze, but you haze. You know, and the thing about it is we got to understand history. People don't understand in the black fraternity culture, because I am a fraternity boy, because it's a lot of layers to me, and I know a lot of things. In the black fraternity, you know, we didn't have hazing until the boys came home from the World War.
Uh-huh.
That's when hazing really showed up, because what happened, because when they got recruited for the war and they got over there and they were in the same position as their white counterparts, to be accepted, they got beaten. And they had to
uh-huh.
take this test and take all this pain to prove themselves for a brotherhood they were already a part of. All y'all was going to war to die. So why am I going to let you beat my ass so you can think I'm worthy to go die with
prove.
You? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's that master.
Really?
Shit.
So they bring their dumb asses back over here, and I'm going to start with the Kappas because I'm one. The Kappas, the Alphas, the Omegas, and the Sigmas, and those, there are others. And they want to start beating folks' ass to start playing, and then you got this whole hazing thing that came out of it. You wasn't a fraternity boy unless you got your ass beat. Well, it's the same thing in the black gay community. You see a fine looking, well, you got to be the top. You got to be this. I don't know how many fine niggas I've seen walking around Atlanta letting these girls jump on their back. I ain't got no problem
you
with you.
Let
them be proud of who you are.
Right.
Be proud of who you are. You know, you walking around here because feel like you can't be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You will satisfy you and live in your truth. Because until, as a subculture, as a community, start to live in our truth, we cannot expect for anybody outside of our circle to take us serious and respect us.
Right.
Until we learn how to do it ourselves. That's it.
I mean, and that's just it in a nutshell. When the show came out and you had all these black gay guys hating and having all these negative things to say. And let me tell you something. They didn't do nothing but help me get to the table where I am now, because as one person said it that I'm working with now, a negative comment equals a view.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a point of view. Mm-hmm.
It equals a view.
And all they need is just the numbers to say, okay, we got a buzz going.
Right. And that's what we are now. We're in a good place and stuff. And so for me, I realize the magnitude of the responsibility. As well as I want this to be entertaining, I want it to be informative, I also want it to be liberating, I also want it to do something to help establish our culture and our community. You know, that's where I'm at, because this weight is on me. I can't tell you that was so much the forefront when I started with the idea, but it really became evident through the struggle of getting this idea to where it's at now, the responsibility. And I really believe that God has to have somebody they can choose, that he can choose, that who can handle this. Because, you know, what's going to happen when one show makes it to TV, whether it's mine or whoever, so many networks are going to be looking for stuff, and you're going to have a lot of buffoonery on there.
Right, exactly.
Because then it's going to be all about the dollar. Because if the Life Atlanta's the first one, they're going to need something to combat this. So they're going to come looking for a gay show anywhere they can find it. And they've already started down here. They've already started looking for crazy kind of ideas and trying to work on stuff to see what's going to happen. Because best believe, they're sitting up waiting, trying to see what's going to happen with the Life. If you don't think these networks are talking about the Life Atlanta, then y'all wrong, because they are. When I got in this new production deal, one of the things they were saying that they thought we were already signed. Because that was the rumor around the networks, that we had got signed, which is holding us. And I was told the people, if we got signed, someone got my check.
Okay.
I don't have it.
Okay.
I don't have it. So
right.
If you try to do some business, come on this way. So people got to understand what's at stake here. This is bigger than just me. It's bigger than the money. It's all about the movement. And whether I do it or the next person does it, whatever gets out there first, if it's not done right, and when I say done right, it ain't about the story that's being told, it's the integrity of where that person stands.
Of the piece.
Exactly.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right. That's right.
Because at the end of the day, for me, I'm not trying to just get a dollar, because I want to be very clear on this. I don't need to make money like anybody else to take care of my child. But that JD, that PhD, that BBA, that MA allows me to do a lot of things. Well, I ain't going to go hungry. So I ain't got to sell myself out. Because at the end of the day, I have a child, and what is put on print is there for life. And what I want in my lifetime for whatever I do, that he can sit there and say when he sees it, oh, that's just my daddy. Because I'm not doing nothing he didn't see me do. And that's where I want to end that at. Now, anything else y'all want to talk about, I'm good. But I want to make sure to get that point out where I stand at. Because when he sees that show, I want him to be able to say, oh, that's just my dad. Oh, yeah, he's crazy. He will go off like that.
Right. Now, here we go. Here he is, and see, and Becca, you see, you became a co-host now, right?
Okay, that's all right.
That's fine. But here is the $55,000 question for all the cash and the prizes, because our culture, and particularly African American LGBTQII and whatever other letters come after that. You mentioned about the Black Prides, about the sizzle and this, that, and the other, and being a part of their festivities and going there. And those particular events, anytime we announce that we are proud about something or it's supposed to be a celebration of pride, those particular celebrations become synonymous with lasciviousness, sex parties, and all kinds of wildness. Also, just as we said, our heterosexual, heteroattractional counterparts only see gay in position because every time they think gay, particularly when they see someone who is masculine, who does not fit what society deems to be gay, whenever they see someone who is out of the norm of what they of their scope of gay, they instantly go to what we do in the bedroom because they can't handle that.
Right.
You know, the program. The Life Atlanta is going to be dealing with high-spirited gay men, most of whom are single, and going to have a life. How see that?
Let me just tell you
what
we're
going to
deal with. Let me tell you what we're going to deal with, because I had this issue, and I think you heard me when I was at the summit when I said this. I'm single right now, and I'm sexy, and I'm looking to get married. So,
dig it.
Yes. Yes, I be on certain chat lines. That's what we all do in Atlanta. Whether your picture's on there or not, whether you got a fake profile or a real profile, the realness of it, that's what we do, and that's how we communicate in this day and age. Well, I ain't happy about how we socialize with gay people these days, because back in the day when I came out, you used to be able to go to a club, and that's where you met somebody at a social gathering, and you can look at his socks, you can look at his shoes, and see how the brother took care of himself. You can see if them heels was won over. Because, you know, if them heels won over, he didn't take care of his shoes, he damn sure wasn't going to take care of you. But
right,
now we got to deal with the internet. That's how we do. So someone made a comment about me being on one of the chat lines in the internet. Yeah, damn, I'm on a chat line. This is how we meet. I'm single. I ain't going to sit up in the talk on myself for the rest of my life. You're going to see the realness of what it's like. You know, you're going to see the realness of what it's like to date in Atlanta. Every week we got a new bus on the boys coming in. That's why people can't settle down, because they think something's on the next bus coming in.
Okay.
Well, that's a problem with the gay community too, though, right? A lot of people say they want to be serious and they looking for something long term, but really they not, because the conversation always go to the sexual aspect of things right away.
You're
looking for something long term, then why is the first thing we're talking about is sex?
While I'm single, we have some cast members who are in relationships. And, you know, we're going to show the ups and the downs of being in a, you know, relationship, you know, a long-term relationship. You know, the point of it is to show the realness of it. Now, the only thing that I probably will have issues with is graphicness, because I don't think that we should have to go there to get a point across. Because sometimes, you know, that's what they expect. And to me, I'm intelligent enough. I can paint a story for you, and I can paint an erotic story well enough for you with the words I choose, because I'm intelligent. It's still going to get you to the same place if I use four-letter words. So for me, graphicness may not be the route that I take with a lot of it on the show, because I think that's what's expected. They want to see a show so they can see us grinding up on each other and kissing up on each other and stuff. Not to say that doesn't happen, but guess what? You're not going to put me in a box.
Right.
I'm not going to let them do that, because that's what's expected of us immediately. And I think that there's more intelligence in us where we can tell our stories and tell our stories in a way that you can understand it without all of that. Because at the end of the day, I definitely want this to be a piece that people can use, because we have kids out there that need to see some positive images, who know they're gay at 7 years old. I can't imagine some people at the age that they come out, like some of these kids in Atlanta, 18 years old, 17 years old, 16 years old, catch a bus down here, and they're dealing with being gay and all the things of life. You know, that wasn't my story for me. And so for me, I definitely want this to be a tool for them to see that I can be gay, I can be a professional, I can go finish my degree. You know, because a lot of kids, when they start going to that transformation, they're in college, and they feel like they're isolated alone, and they don't even finish school. There's just so many things that this show can deal with, and I just want to make sure this show helps more than it entertains or hurts.
Okay. Dig that. Dig that. Well, darling, I think you just summed that up very cutely with that. Now, here, tell everybody where they can go. If you're in the tea room or whatever, I've put the YouTube link there in the tea room. It is on YouTube.com. Look up The Life Atlanta. That's THALIFE Atlanta. It may come up The Life Atlanta reality show. It'll come up The Life Atlanta independently. But there you could go and find the clip. So do you have any other information, any other websites, emails, or whatever?
I'm going to do some exclusive tea with you.
Oh, well, dig that.
Some exclusive. Because I told you I was going to do your show, and when I did it, I was going to bring some stuff. Because, you know, I haven't done – you're like the first show that I've done, because, you know, I never speak. But – I love you, and I've got a chance to know you and see you and know you for your integrity. So, a lot of folks don't know where we are in the process with the show. I have a co-production deal. Are you guys familiar? Have you guys been watching TV1 and been watching Takara's new show?
Yes.
Okay, The Ultimate Merger. Have you guys seen Love and Hip Hop on VH1?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the production company who produces those shows and co-produces the car shows is out of New York by a lady by the name of Mona Young, Mona Me Entertainment. Y'all may know Mona if y'all seen Missy Ellis Behind the Music here lately, because she's Missy's manager.
And
a force to be reckoned with in hip-hop. She is hip-hop royalty at its best. Anybody in hip-hop knows her from her management company. And now she's moving to TV, and those are her two shows that she has on TV currently. She has some other shows in the process, and now we are co-producing and bringing the lights to TV.
All righty then for Miss Mona Me Productions.
Yes.
Do you have a starting date for the show yet?
Well, what we are right now, and this is what I was going back to, educating the kids on when you have a show. See, I don't pitch my show anymore. I have an agent.
Okay.
So I tell the kids, hey, when I'm here, I got a show. I want to know who your agent is, because mine is sitting in New York. So my agent is talking to various networks, and it's all about the numbers, and it's all about what network is going to be bold enough to say, we can put a show like this on our network and our lineup. People know the show is going to be good, but what we have to understand is something. When this show hits, it's the first of its kind. This is not an overnight thing, and that's why I keep telling these kids walking around here with these camcorders, somebody they got a show. You got a show you can put on the internet, but when you talk about getting on a major network, you're dealing with they have to go sell this show to their sponsors, and their sponsors have to be okay with it. Now, let me just say how difficult that is. If we ain't getting no sponsorship for our prize and for all the things we do that's not on TV, how hard is it going to get sponsorship for the things that's going to be on TV?
Right. Exactly.
Now, the A-list ain't got no problem getting people to buy their advertising. Because they ain't got no problem with their people doing their sponsoring their prize. See, this when it comes down to business and the rubber meets the road with our community. We got to stop all this bullshit and all these business people in our communities, club owners, these promoters, these pride people, the party goers, the party promoters and stuff like that. We have got to get our community together and incorporate, because we're missing out on money and dollars. And when we miss
that's
out
right.
down here, it trickles all the way up. And that's what these folks don't understand.
Right.
You got to connect the dots, and it's about connecting the dots. So it is a challenge when you're trying to sell a show of this magnitude. One, there is no show like this on TV. There is no precedence for an all-black gay cast for reality. The closest thing they can say is a Noah's Ark. We're different from Noah's Ark. That's scripted. We're reality.
Right.
There's a big difference between the two. You ain't seen nothing since Noah's Ark or before Noah's Ark. It is a hard road to climb, and the road gets harder when we don't take care of our business at the bottom level. You know, so what we are right now, there are some networks that are interested, but it's going to be a nice song and dance. I could tell you in 6 months it could be we could have the answer, or it could be 18 months. It's not an overnight process. And while these kids are running around here talking about they got a show and all this stuff like that, if you ain't got a reputable agent talking to a network, honey, you ain't got a show.
Okay.
Period. Period. Point blank.
Okay.
You ain't got a show. So stop embarrassing us in the community with all this stuff. You know, we embarrass ourselves because we get little stuff and we're running away with it. You know, if you got a show, keep your mouth closed. And if you really got some folk behind you that can get you the TV, they don't want you talking about the show to anybody, so won't nobody steal your concept, dummies.
Right.
The only way I'm protected is because my stuff got so far out there. But that's what the first network told me. This is the only way, because now you're so far out there till you become an overnight sensation, they're not going to steal it because they got to see what's going to happen. You're going to pass and you're going to fail. But I suggest you stop talking. That's why y'all stop hearing from me.
Okay.
Exactly. While the rest of these kids out here running around, they got a show and they taping at this club and that club, you ain't got no real show doing no mess like that, because if you was with a network, they're not going to let you put it out there. Or if you had a real agent, it'd be quiet. So let's just do the right thing in our community. Let's get serious about our business. Let's incorporate our business, and let's come together and let's be one. Regardless of what we think or feel or like each other, let's just be one.
Okay. Well, we're down to the last 40 seconds. So those of you who are listening by computer, we're going to stop streaming on by computer. If you're on the phones, you'll catch everything. But everything afterwards will be in the archives. So once we are done, please, if you love me, tell a friend. If you hate me, tell an enemy. But do know this, that one way, shape, style, form, or fashion, this will be moving forward. So with that, my darlings, I'm going to bid you guys who are leaving us right now a goodbye. We're going to close off with Dr. Smith, and then we're going to get our Wednesday started, okay? So I just had to say that now because, you know, folks get upset if you say, don't say it to them before they cut off and then they get all huffy. So Dr. George Smith, honey, you are such a delightful spirit, honey.
Well, thank you, and I love you. Thank you for having me today. And we're on Facebook if they want to reach me, or they can reach me on Twitter, George Smith JD, and come directly to me on Twitter. There is a page for the life, but that page has to come down now that I have an agent and we're moving forward in the right professional way. So all that has to come down because it's a conflict of interest with trying to get into the networks. But you can reach me directly, George Smith JD, on Twitter, or you can reach us on reach me on Facebook.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, any last parting words for the populace? You know, now that the Life Atlanta is becoming a blueprint, because we've always said that, you know, when it comes down to being pioneers and things like that, there is never a blueprint until you've gone through it and then you become that blueprint. So now that you're there, what are some of the parting words that you may have for someone who's looking to follow in your footsteps, look up to you for motivation, and all of those kinds of particulars?
For one, get you a good team of people around you. I would not be where I am with this project if I hadn't had good people here in Atlanta. You know, Extreme Entertainment, you know, Greg is a good friend of mine. Dwight, you know, from Sizzle, great friend of mine. You know, so many great people that have been on my team. Princess from Lost Twitter to Entertainment, great friend. You know, Amona Scott, who's just become a great, great friend. Stephanie, who works with her. You have to have a great team who knows more than you, that can educate you so you can know how to maneuver. You know, you may have the ability to create and a God-given gift to lead, but you don't always have all the information. So surround yourself around people who really know and be open to listen and to learn. Just because you're in charge, you don't know everything. Be open and become a student. I am a student of this business now. And anybody who can help and teach me anything, I'm listening to them and I'm taking notes and I'm researching and I'm writing. And then always be open to give information out. Anybody who calls me, I tell them what I did. I don't tell them it's a blueprint how you do it. I say, this is what I did. Take from it what you need. Pray about it and ask God to give you your own blueprint. But, you know, be open both ways, to receive and to give. Because I've always said, I may not be the one to finish this up. Just like Jesse ran for president, he wasn't supposed to win, but I guarantee you when Barack ran, it wasn't a big deal about a black man running. It was a big deal about a black man winning.
Winning, right, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And folk miss it all the time, because if Jesse hadn't ran, you would have had two questions to answer for Barack. Can a black man run and can he win? But 50% of the work was done because of what Jesse did. So Barack only worked on 50%, on the other 50%. And that could be my story. And if that's my story, that's what God wants me to do, I accept that and then I move on. But that's what we have to do. Be open to give and open to receive in this process.
All right.
Well, all right. Okay. Becca, my sister, thanks for coming in, child.
Okay. And then the doors of the church are now open. We're going to take up
all right. Right.
Okay,
God,
right.
Come on.
I love it.
But listen, you guys have a blessed day and meet anytime. You let me know, and I'm here
baby.
For you. And I'll definitely keep you updated with what's going on. And
please
the next big movie, you'll have an exclusive on.
Please do, because you got an open platform right here anytime, baby. I don't care what, if it's the party promotion, I don't care. Anything you need, you got it.
Thank you, love. Y'all guys have a blessed day, okay?
All right,
baby,
you too. You have a blessed, be a great day, honey.
Thank you.
All right, now.
All righty. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dr. George H. Smith, honey, creator, cast member, and now, as you heard, honey, just one of the architects of a new wave of reality television, and letting us know that an all-black cast, honey, is coming soon. The Life Atlanta will be on television set soon, honey, as we finish working out the deal and getting all the particulars in order, getting the business together. Everyone has to remember, honey, this is show business. The show part takes care of itself. It's the business that everybody needs to get into. And as you heard, honey, that's what this is all about. So on that particular note, honey, your mother has got to go and learn some of her business, child, because, hell, I got a couple of things that's on the table as well, and I can't go into it right now. But trust me truly, honey, when I tell you, I will let you guys know what's going on. If you have any other questions, comments, or concerns, please go to the website, www.dishingtea.com, and put all of your questions and things there, all of your Dear Meats letters, everything that you need is right there. Please, Christmas time is coming. Pick up your copy of Awakenings, Epiphanies Along a Spiritual Journey, right there on the website as well. I would love to have your support on that. And prayerfully, you can use the book as one of the tools that you use along your walk towards your excellence, your absolute greatness, and your authenticity, okay? So with that being said, my darlings, please finish all of your crumpets, honey, because the tea has been dished, and you're dishing tea, darlings. With Big Meats. I'll see you guys next week when we have Selena Johnson is returning. R&B's best kept secret will be with us next week as she begins to release Chapter 5, Underrated. You don't want to miss that. I'll talk with you guys soon. Ciao.